Spotlight.
This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on strengthening India-Canada bilateral ties. The participants are Professor Anshu Joshi, international affairs expert, and Deeksha Saxena, Akashvani correspondent.
India and Canada share a long-standing relationship. The ties are by shared value of democracy. In a multipolar world, India is expanding ties across continents. Today, as we discuss the India-Canada bilateral relationship, we are joined by international affairs expert Professor Anshu Joshi to decode this relationship further. Professor Joshi, welcome to Akashvani News.
Thank you so much, Deeksha, for this invite, and my namaskar to all the listeners.
Professor Joshi, as we sit together today to discuss India-Canada relationship, it is in the center stage because the Canadian Foreign Affairs Minister, Anita Anand, is in the national capital, New Delhi. She held talks with External Affairs Minister Dr. S. Jaishankar yesterday, and she also met the Prime Minister. External Affairs Minister Dr. S. Jaishankar, while giving his introductory remarks during the bilateral meeting with Canadian Foreign Minister Anita Anand, said that India and Canada are looking forward to strengthening the connection and bilateral relationship between both the nations. So first, let's listen to what he had to say.
India-Canada bilateral relations have been steadily progressing in the last few months. We are working to restore and reinvigorate the mechanisms necessary to advance our partnership. As Prime Minister Modi noted during his meeting with Prime Minister Carney in Kananaskis, India's approach is to move forward with a positive mindset. This morning you have met the Prime Minister, you have heard from him personally about our vision of cooperation and how best to realize it.
So before we dive deep into the discussion, I would briefly like you to explain this to us. How do you view the visit of Canada's foreign minister to India in the current context of evolving geopolitical situations?
Deeksha, thanks for this wonderful question and bringing a very important theme to this whole discussion of the changes or the flux in the geopolitical situation at present. And amid this situation, it is good to see that how Canada's Foreign Affairs Minister Anita Anand visited India and held high-level talks with our External Affairs Minister as well as Honorable Prime Minister, and there were other delegational level talks also to take the relationship into a positive direction. And we have seen that how in recent past both the countries, despite having a long connect, faced a phase of disruption during Trudeau's tenure. So now when Ms. Anand visited India, this visit actually marked her first official trip to India as the foreign minister, and she actually has reiterated that how both the countries should work on a comprehensive roadmap to deepen the cooperation that already existed across different dimensions. And of course, this is welcomed by the government of India as well. And this plan, if we see, is aimed at shared democratic values and commitment for strengthening cultural as well as people-to-people connects, as well as the strategic relationship. So in the time of global economic as well as political uncertainty and everyday shifting geopolitical dynamics, this is what is required, wherein the officials from both the sides stressed upon strengthening trade, supply chain resilience, and strategic connects between the two nations. And they also reiterated that they should be seen as the central pillars of this renewed engagement. So I would like to bring this fact into the discussion that if we look into the past, in recent past, in 2024 itself, the bilateral trade between India and Canada had reached $23+ billion. To take this momentum to the next level, both the sides have agreed to initiate a ministerial level trade and investment talks, and they have also declared to resume Canada-India CEO Forum, which would start working from early 2026. So both the sides have agreed to work on the priorities like security and critical minerals, energy, AI also, and climate action.
Professor Joshi, you have given a very lucid explanation. I will decode each point from your answer. But first of all, Canadian Foreign Minister Anita Anand spoke on the topics which were to be discussed during her meeting with the External Affairs Minister Dr. S. Jaishankar. So first, let's listen to her words before we progress.
We have seen from your side, and certainly very welcome And today we'll be discussing the India-Canada Joint Statement, which is comprehensive and covers a number of issues that will allow us to continue the work to elevate the bilateral relationship. I appreciate the words you spoke relating to the security dialogue, which, while we elevate the relationship in areas of critical minerals, energy, AI, and climate, to name a few, will continue.
Professor Joshi, I would like to bring your attention to the bilateral trade, which you also mentioned that has crossed $23 billion. So here I would like to ask you, which are the sectors which are driving this growth?
When we look at the trade relationship between the two nations, definitely we do see a very good momentum, and that is what I have just stated, that both the sides have agreed to take this particular dimension to the next level. First and foremost, there it's agreed to deepen the collaboration in the area of science and technology, wherein, you know, the countries have agreed to work on artificial intelligence together and also digital public infrastructure, and for which joint cooperation committee also would be launch. That is what I could gather from the press releases from our government side. And very important sector is agriculture and food security, wherein acknowledging the role of agriculture in the economic relations between the two nations. Both the nations have agreed to work together on stable supply chains and agri chain development also, climate resilient farming, technologies related to farming, farming in different sectors, and different energy innovations also to promote food security as well as to boost farmers' incomes. Then we also have to see that a lot of relationship is there in the area of education and cultural exchanges as well as tourism. So these are another areas where both the sides have agreed upon to revitalize and expand collaborations, so that the numbers in terms of like our overall, you know, economic relations can be strengthened and can be taken to the newer level. And then both the sides also spoke about rebuilding strategic trust, because this is what which was lost during Trudeau's times. And from there we saw that how disruptive phase occurred in the relationship between the two nations. So these are predominantly some significant areas where both the sides have agreed to like take up the momentum to the next level.
In fact, I would like to pick up from the last point of your answer, and you mentioned the strategy. It is notable that External Affairs Minister of India, Dr. S. Jaishankar, also very categorically mentioned that convergences in the Indo-Pacific are notable. So I would like you to explain this to us. How are the two countries actually converging in the Indo-Pacific?
We have also seen that how in recent past, because of asserting their power in particularly Indo-Pacific regions, countries like China, we do see that how they keep asserting their presence in the region. Because of that, actually, it's not only about the trade, but the strategic goals also. The nations do face a lot of difficulty in keeping the area influence-free, stable, prosperous, and neutral. And that is what India talks about when it mentions Indo-Pacific. So when it comes to the goal of keeping this Indo-Pacific region particularly influence-free, stable and prosperous, there India does seek commitment and collaboration from like-minded nations like Canada, that also believes in the values of democracy and that also believes in the values of neutrality and keeping all these strategic areas influence-free. And we have seen that how on different international platforms, including but not limited to G20, Canada has time and again collaborated or like spoke in favor of Indian values, and what India keeps reiterating in terms of keeping not only Indo-Pacific but by and large Indian Ocean region influence-free. And that's where both the nations have again reaffirmed their shared commitment to effective, you know, collaboration, cooperation, to promote multilateralism that can be done by strengthening different international organizations like Commonwealth or for that matter G20, by and large United Nations. And that's where a convergence can be seen when it comes to this objective of Indo-Pacific in particular, to work together not only strategically but also from like sustainable development development's point of view also, Diksha, because that is a prioritized objective at an international level. And that's where you talk about this Paris Agreement, or be it about COP, that's where India and Canada also share connected and collective goals in terms of cutting their carbon emissions and becoming like carbon neutral countries, promoting renewable sources of energy. And that's where India is working like a leader. In past couple of years, we have seen that how India is promoting renewable sources of energy, sustainable development by and large, and how it has announced important solar alliance, biofuel alliance, and multiple such programs to boost, you know, action in this one sector. So that's where Canada also is working as a collaborator, as like a nation that is contributing to this particular goal as well.
Canadian Foreign Minister Anita Anand is on a three-nation tour, and she would be visiting Singapore and China after India. So how do you view that she made India as a first stop in this three-nation tour?
See, when any foreign dignitary goes for such kind of international visits, these stops actually are critically important. So I'll give you an example. When our Honorable Prime Minister went to China to attend this SCO summit recently via Japan. So Japan was the stop where he first halted. He had a bilateral talk with the Japanese head, and there he made a very significant announcement that to bring back Asian century, he would need collaboration from all the Asian partners. So he had set the tone from Japan itself before, like, you know, going for SCO summit. And the same voice or message was heard from Xi Jinping's message. So diplomatically, it is kind of a messaging that a leader can do while, you know, traveling to different places altogether. So it's very significant that Ms. Anand would also be going to Singapore and China. Singapore reflects Southeast Asia, which is a part of India's ACT East policy. And Anand would definitely highlight the progress Canada has made, not only with Singapore bilaterally, but with ASEAN also. So there, I think she is also planning to move towards a free trade agreement and conclude negotiations not only with Singapore, but other ASEAN member nations also. Then she would be going to China, wherein she would be meeting her counterpart from China. And there also, we can see that Canada and China are going to mark 55 years of their diplomatic relationship. And here, I think her focus is like to, as already quoted by Ms. Anand and by the Prime Minister of Canada also, and by Premier Li Kuang of China, to regularize the channels of communication between the two countries. So they would definitely be focusing on strengthening their strategic partnership, evolving trade relationship, and how, like, Canadian economy can have benefits from, like, Chinese market and Chinese capabilities is going to be on focus. Definitely, when we bring in the point of Indo-Pacific into the discussion here, definitely there seems to be a paradox, because when we look at this Indo-Pacific strategy of, like, Canada, definitely it works in the direction of keeping the area or this region influence free. As in, you know, there it resonates with the Indian, you know, philosophy or Indian policy towards Indo-Pacific. However, it would be interesting to see that what China has to say in this particular context. But all in all, Ms. Anand's visit to India is very important at the moment, not only like from bilateral point of view to like re-establish good connects or good relations between the two nations, but also from like overall, you know, what is happening in the global politics.
Thank you so much, Professor Joshi, for sparing your valuable time and throwing so much light on India-Canada relationship. Thank you so much for joining us for Spotlight tonight.
Thank you so much, Diksha. Namaskar to all the listeners.
You were listening to a discussion on Strengthening India-Canada Bilateral Ties. The participants were Professor Anshu Joshi, International Affairs Expert, and Diksha Saxena, Akashvani Correspondent. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsttalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 92890-94044.
Spotlight.